This week's recap of 90 Day Fiancé on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Trivia Star. Download Trivia Star for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. If I were to ask you to name a member of the Beatles or New Kids on the Block, could you answer in under 15 seconds? If the answer is yes, then you need to play Trivia Star. Trivia Star is a free mobile trivia game with over 60 categories that you get to choose from, including music, TV, animals, and celebrities. If you choose the correct answer for multiple choices and beat the clock, you move on to the next level. It sounds simple, but the questions get harder over time. But if you get stuck, don't worry. You can use coins and gems to get hints and beat the level. If you love trivia like I do, you'll love Trivia Star. Right now, Trivia Star is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. For me, it's the best thing that I could be doing to keep my mind sharp other than eating butter, real butter. Trivia Star has thousands of five-star reviews in the Apple Store, and it's the number one trivia game on the App Store. Download today to challenge yourself. Go to the Apple or Google Store to search for Trivia Star. Download Trivia Star for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back again to talk with you about week 9 of 90 Day Fiancé here on Rob Has a Podcast. Very excited. It was a jam-packed week here of 90 Day Fiancé. I've just been outside hugging and smelling trees, and I am so alive, fired up, and ready to go here with this man who is the king of 90 Day Fiancé. And other things. Here is the great Puya Zanvakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm very good, Rob. I'm very excited to be here. Just so we're clear, I'm here for the bonding, not the magic show.
Yes,
and
okay.
I'm very, very keen to get everything going. Might I add, Rob, you're looking quite PHAT today.
Thank you. Dive head first in. So, of course, Puya, we all know, unlike Cousin Harris, is not an a-hole. Coming off of AITA on Robin Akiva, Need a Podcast this weekend. Very fun episode there. Check that out. People really enjoyed us going through talking about who is or isn't the a-hole in a number of different situations going on over on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. But we are so lucky here today to have another great guest with us. Most recently, she and I talked about the 90 Day Fiancé-esque situation that went on MTV's Catfish when we talked about how Michael Cowboy Ellis may or may not be catfished. Here she is to talk about 90 Day Fiancé with us. Great. Maggie Morgan is here. Maggie, how are you?
Hi, guys. I am so excited to be here. I cannot overstate how excited I am that I am here. And I also don't work as a henna person.
Thank goodness.
At a festival. Thank goodness.
It was a rough week on 90 Day Fiancé for local merchants who had to be exposed to very awkward, uncomfortable conversations in the 90 Day-averse this week.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that, I work from home, so I'm not out there, you know, where people can tell me all of their very deep, intimate secrets and lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't happen as much in the work from home Zoom era where you are on a Zoom call with a bickering couple.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah. Doesn't happen too often. Anyway, very excited to get into 90 Day Fiancé once again with you. Just a heads up. 90 Day Fiancé is going to be on Yadas next week for the Super Bowl. So we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about 90 Day Fiancé. Of course, you could set it and forget it by subscribing to our 90 Day Fiancé podcast feed at robiswebsite.com/90Day Fiancé. We always appreciate your feedback and your star ratings here, making sure helping more people find the podcast. All right, Maggie, excited to talk with you and hear your takes on the season. This is your first season of 90 Day Fiancé, correct?
Yeah. So I actually was like, this show, I will never watch this. What is this? And then we recorded the Catfish episode.
Yes.
And at the end of it, you were like, do you watch 90 Day Fiancé? And I was like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. No. And you were like, I really, really think you should.
Yeah.
And I was at home with my parents still for the Christmas holiday. And so I watched the first two episodes with my mom. And my mom and I used to hate watch another TLC show together when I was in high school. We would watch that 19... 19- No, okay. No, definitely not. I can't do that one. Mm-hmm. We would watch 19 Kids and Counting. Mm-hmm. We had all these opinions and all the different Duggar kids. And my mom and I were like professional haters watching it. Like we just sat and judged the crap out of everyone. Mm-hmm. My dad would call us Judgy McJudgersons. And that's what we did watching the first two episodes of 90 Day Fiancé. And now she texts me every Monday and says what happened on 90 Day Fiancé, because she doesn't want to dedicate 2 hours of her life to it, but she wants me to retell her what has happened. So,
but that's not like a lot of people to listen to this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
so all right, so good. Excited to have you here to get into this. Maggie, you've been watching all season long. Who have you mm-hmm. been waiting to talk to us about?
Okay, I have been dying to talk to you about a couple that I think you guys have underrated.
Ooh.
I think that you guys have been like sort of skimming the top of how deeply insane these people are, and that is Rebecca and Zied.
Okay.
I have to talk about Rebecca. I have to.
Okay, please. We have to talk about Rebecca and Zied because, yeah, it was a rough night for Rebecca and Zied. I think they just had like one long scene that got broken up by a commercial, and they had a visit from Melanie, who did not give an F. She came in like a wrecking ball, and she was going to say what she had to say.
Okay, so my thing about Rebecca and Zied from the start, you know, I don't watch anything else. I've never seen anything. And this woman comes in and says, I am engaged. I'm you know, 50 years old, essentially. Mm-hmm. I am engaged to this 27-year-old man yeah. from Tunisia.
Yes.
And he is my second husband, who is also under the age of 30 from this exact area of the world. And my jaw hit the floor. And I was like, wait, what?
Maggie, she has a type, like, okay?
We've just like moved along as though she doesn't see anything wrong with mm-hmm. it. And it's very clear, like her daughter, her daughter's fiance, her friends, all clearly are like, there's something up here that maybe we need to seek help for. Mm-hmm. And she is like, she is so interesting to me because in all of her confessionals, she seems so put together. When she's talking, she seems like a very intelligent, put together woman. But you can't deny the facts of the situation that she's gotten herself in, where she's married to
yeah.
men from the same area of the country under the age of 30.
Well, Maggie, two is a coincidence. Three is a trend.
Yeah. I don't know about that, Rob. I think
Are
two
you sure?
is a trend.
Yeah.
If I mean, you're like, spending like tens of thousands of dollars for them to come to the country, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. What?
Mm-hmm.
So Zied, you know, defends himself here. The last one was Moroccan. It's like close, but no, like they're almost samey, right? But then ultimately, you know, then we should really be looking at Tariq, who's like all about the Thailand, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the type thing
we'll
is definitely, yeah, I'm like fired up because I really want to talk about Melanie with the bad hair. Like, I can't wait. I've been with bated breath.
I also really want to talk about this because when it first popped up and we're seeing these videos of Zied like kissing the camera and being weird, mm-hmm. I was like, this guy's weird. What's going on? Obviously, like, this is crazy. But he's like, it's so unfair to him because he's being punished for Rebecca's very clear mistakes that she's making. Everybody is upset with Rebecca, understandably so. Everybody who cares about her is like, what are you doing? But it's being directed at Zied, who has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Zied, by all accounts, is there for the right reasons, loves her, wants to be with her, misses home, in fact, so much mm-hmm. that like he's not even sure that he wants to be there. And he's like, it seems as though he really is there for her. And yet he's the one getting dumped on by all of these people because his fiance has very serious issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, Poya? Am I crazy?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, the problem is that we haven't learned enough about that first experience, but it just sounds like despite how wacky everyone surrounding Rebecca seems, I think that something must have been so bad there because like it sounds like the dude literally showed up got the card and then left, right? Like he got a full swindle in. So it doesn't matter how adorably cute Ziad is, which, by the way, the most adorable person on the cast, in my opinion.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
He's the Grogu of 90 Day Fiance.
Yeah. Rob, like what, when he said, I make coffee, I watch movie, I was like, that's life. That's amore right there. I love that. Yeah.
Lots of bad stuff happens to Ziad, and his default response is a lot of like, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And go smoke a cigarette out the window and just like deal with it.
Yeah. Ziad, we're going to need you to move your desk into the basement, and we're going to need your stapler. He's like, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. He's like the dog in the burning building. Everything is just, okay. This is fine.
This is fine.
And you know, he's being screamed at by Melanie, essentially pinned to the wall of this completely bare apartment, like bare drywall, even, you know, it's like this industrial style apartment with all the pipes showing and the brick. And like, it's just, I cannot imagine these people who have come to America. I cannot imagine leaving my whole family behind, everything I have ever known and loved, moving to America and having the situation be like less than ideal living wise. I would implode, because I mean, I moved to New York City with a suitcase, and I was staying with friends and everything, and that was really difficult. And I could hop on a plane very easily and have gone back home. But like, these people are moving to somewhere where it's their second language, where they know one person who, you know, because clearly now they can't work, this person has to up their work schedule usually when they get there, and they're completely alone in the poor Ziad is completely alone in this bare apartment while Rebecca is trying to defend herself to everyone in her life who is like, what are you doing? Again, really, Rebecca? Again? And I mean, Melanie comes in here looking like a regular Kathy, and she pins these two against the wall. She steps one foot in the door and starts grilling them, giving them the third degree, putting those private detective skills to use, clearly.
Puya, let me ask a question. So does Melanie know that this was a friend visit and not a private investigator visit?
She could have fooled me. I don't know. I don't know, Rob. So the backstory with Melanie is that we've seen her in the first season that these two were on. And she was the one who like put the work in on Ziad's past and found out that
she
there was
in
no
the
work
premiere
history.
Also. Yeah.
Right. So this friendship has definitely been there. But when she was like, I'm at the gate, can you come open it? I almost felt like Rebecca didn't think this was happening. Like it was like a out of nowhere visit. I don't think this was a planned visit. But no part of the body language there was Rebecca comfortable, was Ziad comfortable. And when she's asking Ziad about, you know, what about your family? How do they feel about you moving? And then he's taking 2 seconds to brush, like, you know, family, moving. It's like, calm down, Melanie. Yeah. I don't know what coffee shop you think you're waiting at with a ticket stub. Like, this is not it. let the man finish. Like, he's gonna get there. But it's amazing how much people put themselves in other people's business when it's not gonna impact them whatsoever.
It's
truly incredible.
Completely agree, Puya, on that one, because at least her daughter, like, it's her daughter, you know, where there's like a very close, like, clear relationship there. But Melanie, get out of here, go away, like, bye. I don't know.
Yeah. I just couldn't imagine, like, having a friend that would come over, that would be hard to imagine. But two, like, having a friend that came over that would be, like, asking my wife, so, Nicole, what'd you do today? Yeah? Did you get anything done? You just watched a movie? That's it? That's all you did today? Nothing? Like, where do you get off, Melanie?
It was also really upsetting because Rebecca is, like, not defending Ziad at all. She's standing there essentially like disassociating, like staring at the ground, and then starts bawling. And I'm like, defend him or tell Melanie to go home. Like, what?
I feel like the defense was on until Melanie drops the bombshell that she has been like cowering around the whole, like, your ex used to live in this building, which is the one thing that really makes Ziad react differently than an okay. He gave us a what? So it was a different word. It was a new word. I want to quickly, before we talk about that, I want to stop down and speak on the whole like logistics of the visa. So what Rebecca's saying is not untrue. When you move here on the K-1 visa, those 90 days, you can't do anything. You can't work. You have to stay home. You're pretty much at the hands of your the petitioner, which is the person who is the American in the relationship. And they have obviously signed all the paperwork saying they will be sponsoring you throughout this time. They are the ones responsible for you, et cetera, et cetera. Once you get married within the 90-day period, you're still not clear to work. You have to file for the adjustment of status, which now moves you away from being like my visa status was K-1 visa holder. It changes that to now you're applying for permanent residence, you're applying for a work permit, you're applying for advanced parole if you're trying to travel early before your permanent residence gets here. Once you file that, then you're in adjustment status. You still have to wait until your work permit comes in, and that could take 6-7 months. It took me about 8 months from arriving here before I had access to it. So it is a long time. So for Melanie, for all the private detective work you do, you did about as much research as Andrew did at the resort with this lackluster research results you came in with. You did not know this. This is basic stuff, Melanie.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And like, what year is it that you go and like, yeah, there's a bunch of places in town. Did you go and ask them all if you could go and work there? Like, did you go like present your resume at Kinko's? Zed? Huh? Huh?
I mean,
he was going to get a job. He would get it. Like, she would get him a gig at the Chicken Shack. Like, there's no way he doesn't work there.
Yeah.
That's where he would end up naturally.
He studied HVAC repair. He's not going to go work at the strip mall. That's what his skills are.
Rebecca is just like, I can't put my finger on her because she presents so like together and with it, but like clearly the life choices and the deep alarm from everyone who's close to her shows us that like she's going through something. Like even in the episode, not to go back to other episodes, but I've just been dying to talk about her, the episode where they're getting dinner and you know, she's like all over him like a lovesick teenager, like her daughter was saying. Like that was the mood there. And there's nothing wrong with that. But given just like the history of all of it, it just points me in a direction of like, what's up, Rebecca? I just have been trying to figure her out and I can't. So
she is, based on the history with her, she is a little bit like, she comes off organized. But when you really think about some stuff, like she did not, was not fully divorced when she went to visit Zed the first time. Like, Zed slept with a married woman in that instance. Whoa. And he was very upset about that. Yeah, she was not fully separated from the Moroccan guy at the time. We saw in this season, like she clearly the apartment needs furnishing, needs work. She went instead and prioritized getting him a gaming system. Like she's like the intention's good, but the priorities are not straight in some instances there.
Yeah. Okay. Melanie ends up coming out real hot with the So like she's like, Rebecca, what's going on? Now we're in the same apartment building again. Like she says, yeah, didn't you live like down the hall with your ex? Like she was just so extra about the whole thing.
I feel like production beforehand was like, don't forget to bring up the apartment, right? So then, like they had to.
Then this is a nightmare show to be on.
I mean, I've been trying not to be like a tinfoil hat person about what production does during this, but like, come on.
They just remind
they had to
people
be like,
about
Melanie,
things to
so
be
you're
mad about.
Walk up there.
That's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, with friends like Melanie, who needs enemies, truly? Like, she's straight up, like, Rebecca's had one thing she's been keeping, and that is gone now. The good news is, Zed is a kind soul, and he comforts her. And Rob, can we talk about how Zed gave her the business? That was the best part of this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he stands up there and says, listen, we're not the same. I am not him. He is not me. And I just love that so much. And then Melanie hits us back with, I'm going to need all 3 months to assess Zed. Like, are you doing this on commission? Like, no one is paying you to do this. Why are you doing this?
I mean, did Rebecca pay her and then she is still like on assignment? Like, does somebody need to like formally end the mission for Melanie?
I don't know what PI contracts look like. I don't know if there's like, if she's like, oh, sorry, you could have gone month to month, but you paid for yearly. Now you have me for the whole year. I'm not going to go away. Like, I don't know.
You paid for the year, Rebecca. It's only been 7 months.
Yeah. If anything, I would use the rest of that contract and be like, hey, can you go look at my daughter's fiance? He seems sketchy. Like, can you just follow him a little bit?
Yeah, tell he's him. Sus.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll see if Zed can rebound from this, because this was too much.
Yeah, I feel so bad for him. Like we've said this whole time, like, he has only proven to show Rebecca more kindness than she probably deserves. If I showed up to my fiance's apartment that they had created for me in another country, and it was a mattress on the floor and a box of pans, mm-hmm. I would be like, I am going home. Like, of course he wants to go home. Like, what? So, yeah. And then Rebecca is whining in this conversation that Melanie's having. And she's like, why doesn't anyone trust me? And it's like, well, let's take a look at this track record here. And think, don't you think that maybe the people who care about you would be a bit concerned about the choices that you've made in your life up until this point? I don't know. But
yeah. You don't think they'll catch up with Rebecca's ex on 90 Days Bears All, right?
I feel like just because of how much they blur him and stuff, mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably a no access zone.
Okay.
Yeah, sadly.
Okay. All right. Anything else to say about Rebecca and Zed? No, okay.
No, I think I got pretty fired up.
Yeah, you're fired up about that. Right, okay. Rightfully so. Okay. All right, Maggie, who else do you want to get into? On a jam-packed night. I think we had all of our couples tonight.
Yeah, I think maybe just to get them out of the way, we should do Andrew and Amira.
Yes.
Because they probably had like the least amount of content. It's essentially the same stuff over and over again. But like, I do have to give my two cents on the situation, just like everybody who watches it, because like, what a loser.
Yeah.
You know? Just like a complete and utter loser.
How long is this trip, Puya? The guy has been in Mexico for like 2 years.
Listen, he's got to make the most out of it, Rob. He's not done quarantining. You know, he's got 14 days. He really knows how to milk that stuff. But it's good to know that he's out there getting his vitamin D.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I was concerned about, was is Andrew getting enough sun out there?
Here's Amira. She calls in to Andrew.
I've been out here enjoying the rays, getting some vitamin D, but I'm missing you.
But I still care about you, but that sun though. Oh man.
Hey, so that's good. Important. Vitamin D. You want to, you know, not be deficient. That could really cause a problem with COVID. So Andrew is just trying to take care of himself. Okay.
That's very accurate. Himself. Yes, indeed.
The worst part about this whole situation for me is that like, I have been in a relationship with someone who behaved a bit like Andrew did in this situation.
I'm sorry, Maggie.
With just like, thank you. But like, it's just the complete under preparation and lack of, you know, doing what you have to do before the situation. And then obviously it doesn't go the way you planned because of the complete under preparation. But the over the top, like emotional performance that Andrew has given, I was like, oh my gosh, like it's just, you know, like the panting and like the and the head holding and like the Amira. I was just like, oh my gosh, get out of here, goodbye, like enough, go. And the best part about this, like, you know, he's been in Mexico for, you know, like you said, 4 years, is that when he's on the phone with her and he's like, you're gonna have to go to, I don't even know where it is, like Serbia. He said
Serbia.
That she has to go. He's like, well, you have to go to Serbia, but I can't go because I have to get back to work. And it's like, yeah, because you've stayed at the resort an extra 12 days after you realized she wasn't coming.
Like, I'm sure your mom's going to be okay running the daycare on her own. It's not like you're like working for like a company and you like on company time. Like, you can go to Serbia if you, I really can't do that though. Like, it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he works with his mom.
And it's like, after 4 days of him being there and him realizing she's detained, she's not coming, wouldn't you be like, okay, time for me to go home?
Yeah.
Like,
make this a quick trip.
I mean, enough of him. Goodbye to him.
I liked when she was telling him, like, he can't take a hint. She's trying to tell him about how she's still dealing with everything from, she's having a lot of heart problems.
You think that it's some residual stress from your experience here in Mexico?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what she's saying. That's what she's saying. Yeah.
Okay, Puya, I know that you have gotten like tweets and stuff from Amira or retweets. I followed the trail to Andrew's Instagram account.
Yes.
Which has about like 700 followers. And there's all these videos of him like playing air guitar and like him doing all of this. Like, he's just is like as big of a boob as you think he is on the internet.
Playing it's, air like, guitar. Perfect.
I think he's like playing guitar, like along to a recorded thing. I don't really know. I can pull it up and send it along.
So is this him? Kind Dragon Drew.
Yes, that is him.
Oh my! What is this name?
Yeah.
Kind Dragon.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Again, someone needs to Dracar. Yeah,
I saw people making fun online of he has like a Instagram pose where he has like a bottle of Fiji water and he's like, I don't know if he's like trying to model it or what. He's an influencer.
How many followers does he have?
3,196 followers.
Well, he's on his way.
Yes. He also has a website, andrewkenton.com.
I can't imagine what's this going
to
have.
Welcome to the official website of Andrew Kenton. Andrew Kenton is a variety of all things: small business owner, reality TV star, and children's book author.
Oh God.
Yes.
Don't buy that book. Don't do it.
And he has a book and it's called I Still Love You. Yes. And there's a contact.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So you could buy his book. He has a store.
$14.
There's a store. Yeah. I still love you.
I knew Andrew was bad news in the first episode when he said like something to the effect of, I've been lucky enough to date many wonderful women in my life, but nobody has ever been the one. Like something just corny and disgusting like that, you know, just like so over the top. I was like, Andrew, get out of here.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
So, weirdo.
Amira is going to think about it. She ends up, has coffee with Xavier. They could have left this on the cutting room floor, Puya. Xavier is the super poor man, Zamira's dad.
Yeah, he didn't need to be there. I think, honestly, it was 1,000% an aesthetic put. They were like, you guys need to see his face. Like, I don't know what it was, but I was gravitated towards him. I was like, what is that? Because like the content did not matter, but I can still picture his face in my head so vividly. Ultimately, yes, you are right. It was a poor man's Amira's dad because he literally said, don't go. You also have that option. How about you save yourself a couple of dollars and don't embark on this journey to Serbia alone for 2 weeks, only to like maybe things not go right or wrong. He's not going to be in contact with you. Just don't do it. And I feel like, I think they should just give up on this visa. There's 31 days left, 14 days quarantine. You're cutting it way too close. Just let the timer run out. It's clear based on Andrew's reactions to you, Amira. You do not need this smoke right now. Just try again. Try again. You know, go through the process. It might be a year or so longer, but it's very clear that this guy is not the one for right now. He really isn't.
The only highlight from the time with Xavier was that Xavier said what Andrew's doing to Amira is an abomination. I like that. I thought he really, you know, painted the word picture. But otherwise, I think that basically Amira's dad just must have been busy. They needed somebody and he couldn't make it. He was like, enough with this show. Enough of the 90 Day Fiance.
Also, like, I mean, to be fair to everybody involved in this situation, when I saw these two, I was like, oh, they have literally nothing in common except that Andrew would like a gorgeous wife and this woman, it's her dream to live in America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, these people have nothing in common. And obviously she cares for him if she's willing to do these crazy things for him, these very intense situations that are dangerous. Like, she clearly cares about him, but like, I don't think this was ever like a written in the stars love story anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that we should just all cut our losses here and move along.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
And yeah. Andrew's loss is that, you know, he had to stay alone at the resort for 14 days instead of with the Mira, but
mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be right back to talk more 90 Day Fiancé with Puya and Maggie, but I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at IP Vanish, back on the podcast. What is IP Vanish? IP Vanish, that's a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN when your computers, tablets, phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, searching, and watching, that's all encrypted, because what you're doing on the internet, that's none of my business and it's no one else's either. IP Vanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. And IP Vanish is just $3.49 a month. For just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year, you can protect your online privacy and security. Here's what you get with IP Vanish, an anonymous IP address. That means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anybody on the web. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 plus locations. You'll get protection when using public Wi-Fi too. Remember, with IP Vanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. 24/7 support, email them, chat with them, even call them. They're there to help. And if you remember, they supported the show a couple of weeks ago, and they've come back with an even better deal, wanting to offer something special for the new year. So you're getting 65% off now. Go to ipvanish.com/Rob to claim your savings. They have plans starting at just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year. This is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotion, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IP Vanish, it's the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and that's with more than 6,000 reviews. So show them some love. They're repeat sponsors. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/Rob to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. And let's get back to Puya and Maggie and 90 Day Fiancé. We still have a lot of fireworks to get to from this week on 90 Day Fiancé, Maggie. Who else mm-hmm. you want to talk about?
Oh, gosh. I feel like it may be time to talk about Brandon and Julia.
Okay, let's talk about Brandon and Julia, because we opened the episode with them and things started off hot. Puya, what was this? So Ron and Betty were out to dinner and they were just meeting Brandon solo, who just came in, did not eat, made a speech and then just left.
Yeah, and then it was weird because I was like, you couldn't have done this at home. Like, could this have been an impromptu? They were like, listen, we left early, we had dinner plans at 5:30, you know us, we're organized, we get reservations at an open bar that just has tables, we still do it. I don't know. I love that the first thing we heard was Ron ordering wings. I was like, I did not picture Ron as a wingman.
Hot
but
sauce.
I
guess that's call up Tariq.
Also, I would like to say he ordered wings. Betty had a glass of wine, and the decor of the restaurant was like jalapenos with sombreros and maracas. Like that mm-hmm. was what was on the chairs.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this place? Because that leads me to believe it would be a Mexican restaurant, and yet they're having wings and wine. So I was very confused.
Like a bar and grill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it seems like, it feels like all of this happened one night, because I'm not going to go too far ahead, but he insinuates that this talk happens before his talk with Julia later in the night. So this
I
was
feel
very
like he's wearing the same shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. It's the same black polo that he's rocking.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Rob, you talked about fireworks. This was a lot of fireworks that opened the episode with, truly.
Yeah. Because Brandon needs to talk to Ron and Julia and says that they need to leave the farm. And they're like, well, I don't get it. What's going on? She's only been there for a few weeks. And Maggie, Brandon, who has like a very like delicate relationship with the truth and facts, he tells his parents, yeah, the animals are the problem. They're like, what? The animals? Come on.
I'm disturbed. I'm mm-hmm. disturbed by the whole situation, honestly. I mean, Brandon, is, you know, I when I listen to the podcast, I love it that you call Brandon a moron. Mm-hmm. But I think Brandon is more than that. I think Brandon is a pathetic moron, which is really, truly the way that I feel about him. I like watch the episode and get physically upset because I'm like, this guy is such a moron, pathetic loser. Like, he could not be more of a limp noodle if he tried. Like, he's blowing in the wind, essentially. And whoever blows on him harder is the way that he's going to go. Mm-hmm. And it's just so embarrassing. Like, it's so, so embarrassing. And I know you've had guests who are nice to him and are like, you know, I feel bad for him because I know that his parents have fostered this environment for him. Totally. And I have empathy for that. But I can also, for a fact, say that Brandon needs to get it together. He's almost 30 years old. He needs to leave. It's time. He has enough money. I'm so sorry. You have enough money to get an apartment. Get out of there, fool. Get out.
That's like, Brandon, think about what you're doing. Look, at thought about it. Yeah, it's fine.
With his finger on his face.
Yeah. Puya, this was we saw like Ron really having a meltdown in this episode.
Yeah, Ron, listen, I think we were fooled. They had us in the first half. Mm-hmm. I think for sure everyone was rolling into like episode 7, 8 being like, Betty's the one in control. Betty's the alpha. Ron is the beta that like every now and then yells. Ron is the worst. Ron, he out here trying to take the title of the biggest douchebag of the show, definitely came off very like misogynistic in a way of like, I'm gonna put down Julia's opinion. No, hush, Betty, you can't speak on this. He's trying to get a compromise. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not letting that happen. I'm not about to lose to Julia in a battle of compromise. That's not happening. He's just very unhinged, and I'm sorry. You can't be that level of angry when you have celery sticks sitting in front of you. You just can't. Like, to me, like that doesn't
match. What should he have done, Puya? Throw the dish?
Throw the dish, maybe. Maybe not have the celery stick with blue cheese. If he had like a, if he was rocking like a tomahawk steak or something, then I'm like, okay, that's too much red meat. His anger levels are high. This is like a light, like appetizer. Mm-hmm. You can't be acting this way.
What about brisket nachos?
Again, big Mike energy. That would have given me a little bit something. But like, I just didn't understand why he just couldn't let this happen. And then because he was not letting it happen until Betty was very willing to compromise with Julia. And then he's like, nope, we're not going to lose the upper hand. Now you can leave. It was like, oh, that's how it works. Like if someone else puts a compromise up, you'll give them what they wanted. That seems
wrong. I think actually, Puya, I have a take on this because, you know, my household, if I were to ever bring over a significant other, I would have to sleep in a separate bedroom from them as well. Mm-hmm. Like my parents' house.
Right.
So I think that the situation is, well, it's one, it's completely ridiculous. They're going to be married within 3 months
right.
anyways.
You were not engaged ridiculous. To this person, right, Maggie?
No. And I watched it with my mother and mm-hmm. I was like, would you still make me do that? And she was like, no. But like, also, it's just a completely ridiculous situation. But also, I think that Ron, I actually think that Betty in this situation showed her hand because Ron was like, no, we're not giving in. This is our rule. This is the rule of the house. If you are not willing to follow the rule and you're trying to bargain with us about the rule, maybe it is time for you to leave. And Betty is the one who took Betty. I think it's clearly all about control. Betty just wants to have control over Brandon's life. She wants to have control over his sex life. She wants to have control over his life in general. She wants to have control over his job. His like, seriously, because she's the one who like, then he threatens to leave and she's like, okay, well, I guess it's not that big a deal. Like if it really is about them being, you know, not sleeping in the same room because of her religious mm-hmm. beliefs or whatever, very then religious. That's what it would be about. It's not about that for Betty though. Like Ron was trying to say, no, this is the rule of the house and we're sticking to the rule. Very clearly to me, I was like more disgusted with Betty because it's very clearly to her a matter of, well, whatever I can do to get Brandon to stay, which is what you want them to be married and living with you. I'm confused why yes. it's such a big deal that they're leaving.
Maggie, no, but if Betty's successful in her mission here and they stay and they take over the farm, they can go on so many swinging destinations.
You think that that's what it is? It's like, hey, yeah, Ron, think about it. They take over the farm. We could go wherever we want, be gone for as many overnights. We don't have to pay Aspen and her hairless cat to come and stay here and creep everybody
that's
out.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we also get to just come back to the farm whenever we like. And it's right there exactly where the way we left it.
Also, like, it's so, I just don't. She said in the episode, she said, I feel like, she said, I wanted to be gaining a daughter, not losing a son. And I was like, where is he going?
Mm-hmm.
He's going down the road.
Right.
Losing a son.
Like, they're not moving to Russia.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, even if he did go to Russia, he didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to lose your son.
Betty, let's not lie to ourselves. Like, you're still going to do his laundry. Like, he's going to come over with a hamper full of laundry. Like, he's not leaving the nest. He's going to sleep away from the nest, but he's going to come back to the nest almost every day. I don't think that's going to be a problem for old Brandon. I think that you're going to have that. And then with Ron, like, my frustration is, like, he has such an outdated look on everything, like yelling at Brandon, it's your decision, you're the man. When I'm sitting here, like, listen, not only am I the antithesis of that statement in my relationship, I'm out here rocking the, I'm like, Liana's like got all the knowledge, all the decisions.
You're the
with
first
Liana
gentleman.
And I'm, exactly. And I love it that way. And like, I would like for that to be a normalized outlook, because I feel like, Ron, I'm out here going to be living my best life. You're about to short fuse over this decision in front of a bucket of wings. Like, you're not in a good place by having this mentality. You need to drop that.
I also felt like that Brandon did not come off great, really throwing Julia under the bus. You know, his opener that, the animals, she doesn't like animals. Mm-hmm. And then that it got into like, wait, so she's not giving you a choice? She told you that? And it's like, well, I think it's so much the animals. It's also that my mother with her neediness for me. It's like, it's everybody's fault but his. Like, he takes no responsibility for anything.
And then Betty self-destructs at the table and cries, but doesn't have any actual tears come out.
Mm-hmm.
She tried so hard. The cameras were on her and she really tried to force one out. It did not happen. I think this is half the problem, though, team, right? Is that the fact that, you know, we call him a loser. We call him, he's pathetic. He is also the biggest part of the problem for me, because he is like the worst messenger. If I had to pick a game not to play with Brandon and my crew, it would be Whispers. He would wreck everything. We'd get to the end and it would be a completely different sentence. Like, I don't need that with him, because the way he brings up the animals first, then kind of says, well, if you're pushing me, Mom, you're kind of the problem because you're needy and you want me. And then it's like, well, that's a problem now. And then, like, obviously, we'll see later when he takes this message from this dinner over to the pool hall later and says that wrong as well. I'm saying he's literally causing more messes for himself without trying.
Even the way he sits in his confessionals, he sits closed in on himself, right? He sits with his shoulders hunched up. Like, he's trying to make himself look smaller. I feel like I feel like he has really low self-confidence, which I do have empathy for. And like, Brandon, I hope you figure that out, because you brought a woman from Russia to live with you under the pretense that she was going to be living a completely different life than she's living, which I honestly think is really deceitful and like really, really kind of evil. And I know that you didn't mean it in that way, but when you're deceitful like that, like, you deceived her. You told her that you were going to be staying there for a little bit, like a week, she probably thought, and then she was going to get an apartment. You told her that you had this money, and then she arrives. You got scared because you thought she wasn't going to come if you told her the whole truth, which is terrible. It's just terrible. I have such a problem with Brandon on like a fundamental level.
Wow. Anybody's come in hotter than Maggie is, Booyah.
No, Maggie's firing on all cylinders, and I love it. This is the, like, 90 Day is genuinely,
this is like Melanie level of energy coming in.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm really sorry.
No, it's good. You have strong feelings.
I'm trying to explain this to my friends. It's like, because when I watch Big Brother, these people are my favorite people. But when I watch a show, I think because, like, you know, it's a game. They can't, like, actually, you know, some people are good at the game, some people are bad. It's not real life. But these are people actively destroying their real life and then destroying someone else's real life. And it just really, really, really upsets me that Brand, like, I feel so bad for Julia that this guy who is a terrible messenger, who deceived her into coming to America, who it seems that she genuinely really loves him and they do have a connection, that this is, you know, the situation that she's in. I feel so bad for her. I've seen all these things online that are like, let's go rescue Julia. And I'm like, I'm a part of the rescue mission. Send me in. I'm ready.
I also want to shout out that I was laughing this morning that one of our listeners at Phoebe the Fan on Twitter was like live tweeting the episode as she was watching. And she said about this, she said, Brandon's parents call in, you're our baby, followed by crying emoji. Also, Brandon's parents call in, you're the man, you need to stand up to Julia. Y'all, he literally doesn't know how to be a man, and it's your fault.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. All right. So we're going to see Brandon go visit Julia. And Puya, I'm like, wait, hold on. Brandon and Julia had like dates accessible to them. Like, how did this not come up until they could leave the farm and go places? Like, why didn't they ever do this before?
They really made us believe that they're in the middle of nowhere with no access. Like, this is like a get out situation. Like, it's just like, you're stuck here. It's a bad time. But like, he has access to a vehicle. Clearly they have access to bars, restaurants with like weird motifs and weird menus. Mm-hmm. They got all that. They got a pool hall bar thing, which Julia was all about, but she loved this place.
Like, yeah. So easy going, right? Yeah. It takes so little to make her happy. She just doesn't want to get up at 5 a.m. and do mess with farm animals. I get it, Julia.
Mm-hmm. You know? 100%. I'm saying big save.
Puya, could you ID that drink that Julia had?
What did that look like? Listerine to me. I was like, are you about to have the freshest breath in all the land? Like, he said rum drink. I was like, I don't see rum in this.
Like, I would be suspect of like Brandon's ordering for Julia, because I suspect that he ordered a drink for her with probably like 6 to 7 shots of alcohol in it.
Right.
I did not trust that color. Yeah.
No, before he breaks the news, was this absinthe? I know absinthe is like, you know, some kind of way. Yeah. Like, I feel like he walks into this conversation, he knows he's about to tell her something. He knows
in
that
a pint glass, okay, also. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta walk the middle here. Like, maybe I should do it's that I can't, listen, some I know we're gonna get an at tweet somewhere after this episode where someone's gonna be able to like, that's this specific drink. Let me know. Let us know. I'm very curious. I would like to know what the makeup of this drink is. It looked fascinating.
Yeah. If you get a mixed drink in a pint glass, that's a strong drink.
This is fair, to be honest. I didn't think of that. Yeah. Pints are for beer. You get glass. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's like a small town, like, you know, local dive bar, I can see them being like, yeah, whatever glass you want, you know, put it in here.
Okay.
Ooh. So I looked it up real quick. There's a one that looks very similar. It's served in a glass. It's called the Green Haze. It is coconut rum, pineapple juice, blue curacao liqueur, curacao, and sour mix. Yeah, that one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So
that sounds really good.
All right. So it takes Julia out for the date, and he basically spins this Maggie like, look, I went in there, I laid down the law, and I said, we're staying in one room. We're staying in one room, and that's that.
Congratulations, Brandon.
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything anymore.
I mean, and she's like, well, does your mom hate me? And he was like, no, hate is not the right word. And she was like, what do you mean? And he's like, you know what? This is a problem for future Brandon to solve.
And mother not think Julia is bad girl?
Poor Julia.
Listen,
I mean
Brandon was very forthcoming. The only thing they're gonna solve now that they stay together is crossword puzzles, so it's not gonna be a problem for them at all.
He's so hilarious.
the fact that he comes through with the game of whispers and says, not only if, what if I was to tell you if we stay in a room, it'd be fine, which is, that's what we heard, was that she would think about it. She didn't even say, like, sign off on it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yes.
Puya, I was so hoping they came in and then Ron is sitting there in the living room, like in his robe, like, where the hell do you think you're going? Like, nowhere. Nothing, sir.
Like, they're literally like 16-year-olds in their parents' house. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I full on thought that when he carried her towards the front door that they were going to be sitting at the porch with like the lights out. Yeah, I really thought that was going to happen.
Because in my mind, I mean, nothing was resolved. Like it was Ron still said no, get out. Betty said, okay, we want to think about this. And then he took, his takeaway was, okay, we're golden. We got this. Done deal.
I know that the show can make it look whatever way. I was expecting that, because I was like, no, Julia, don't go into the room. You're going to get in so much trouble tomorrow. I had the exact same thought, Rob. I was like, don't go in there.
Yeah.
Mom will think you're bad girl. She will.
She thinks she's the bad girl. Well, she talked about also that she had like a previous experience where she had like, she was engaged in somebody. And then again, like that her previous boyfriend or fiance basically blamed everything on her, and his parents thought that she was a bad girl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not great. But Julia thinks that Brandon is basically just wheeling and dealing.
The stallion that he is.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll give Brandon one compliment.
Yes.
All right. Oh. I'll give him one compliment. In the shirt, his biceps looked good. He looked good in that shirt.
Okay.
That's my compliment for Brandon.
All right. That he's working hard. He's got all those supplements.
Yeah. With his pest control job.
Yes.
Can I give him a anti-compliment?
Oh, please.
He 1000% does not know how to shoot billiards. He was holding the stick wrong. And it was embarrassing.
It looked like at one point he was going to hit a ball that was not the cue ball. I don't know. What. I don't know. Maybe he was like lining up a shot or something. I'm like, oh, wait, is he about to like just like hit the four ball?
He might have been playing with random rules. I have no idea.
He may not know the rules.
Yeah.
He may not know.
Very possible.
Yeah. And you know, the Julia might not either. Okay. All right. That's Brandon and Julia. Kind of a light week for them. They just had the two scenes for Brandon and Julia. All right, Maggie, where else should we go? Around the 90-day-averse.
I think we should go a bit lighter since I've been really, really hard on these people. I would like to say I think every American on this show is the one who I'm like, what is happening here? Like all of their spouses, I'm like, all right, this seems like a person. But all of the Americans, I'm like, what is happening?
Yes.
But I would like to go a bit lighter here. I want to laugh. So I'm going to ask if we can please now talk about Stephanie and Ryan.
Stephanie and Ryan. Okay. All right. Because this was actually very heated, Stephanie and Ryan. Because we
I love Stephanie.
Saw Stephanie's arrival in Belize last week. But this was, I mean, and basically they made a whole episode out of like one conversation where he's on the phone texting. And she's like, feels like that he's a little bit distracted. We missed in the gift giving last week, Puya, that she brought some conditioner for Ryan's hair also.
Yeah, it sounds very much like there's this scene that Stephanie wants to recreate with the, she was like, I brought you this so you can wear it, so you can wear your hair like the last time. Mm-hmm. And now she's like trying to push this conditioner on him. I don't know what she's trying to do, but Liana actually was watching the episode while I was getting ready here. So I was my second view up. But Liana was like, she's treating him the way she would treat her cat. And I tend to agree. Mm-hmm. I think Cooper and Ryan, same person at this point.
Here you go, Ryan. I brought some conditioner for you and some lime green mint yogurt. Key lime yogurt.
Ryan.
Key lime yogurt.
I think that like when she was giving him all that stuff last week, I was like, oh, so she's acting like my mother when I come home, when I came home from college, when mm-hmm. I was younger. And she would give me all like the stuff, you know, for my dorm room that she had bought for me, all the shampoo, all the, and then she's going to send me back. Like, that's literally, I was like, this is the way that mm-hmm. a mother would treat her child.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know why she's like shocked that Andrew or not Andrew, sorry, Ryan is not trying to sleep with her, you know, after she babied him all night. Yeah. I don't know why she thought that that would get him in the mood. I don't know why she was confused.
The thing that's weird is that she showed up and he did seem excited to see her. And then it was almost like that. It wasn't until they got back to the hotel room that he remembered that he was mad. Puya, does that seem odd? Like, did you get any hint in the last episode that he was not excited to see her, especially when she brought the glow-in-the-dark rubbers and he was telling us about how they have sex four times a night for 6 days in a row? And, like there was, like, no sort of, like, but, you know, those days are over.
Right.
So
well,
I know
funny.
Something about Stephanie.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I feel like, you know, part of me wants to say he was waiting to inspect the gifts. Like, were the gifts lit? Did I like what I received? Were these watches what was like what I expected? Yeah. Okay, cool. But like, we know he ordered the lobster. I can't imagine he didn't feel sluggish after the lobster. Could it be, could it be that he was trying to actually be like, you know, caring for, oh, she looks tired. I'm kind of tired. I had a little bit too much to drink, but like, I'm going to pass it off on her being tired. I don't know. I mean, like,
he said also her stomach was bothering her too.
Yeah. Cause like the way they're building it up, right? Like he's being built up to be like the god of sex having, like just based on like, oh, Ryan, he could go four times a
night.
We're
not worthy.
Yeah, like, oh, I had to get him like the Costco size package of rubbers for him because mm-hmm. he's just fired on all cylinders. Maybe he couldn't live up to the hype, if you know what I'm saying. And he was like, I'm going to take the night off.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I thought my theory is just like he obviously is seeing other people. Stephanie bankrolls him. He's thinking when he gets there, he's like, all right, I can do this because I want to get to America. Yeah. I want her to keep bankrolling me. They finally get there. He looks at her and he's like, I can't do this. I thought I could in my head. I just can't. She's talking about these glow in the dark rubbers and this tape, how she's going to tape my ass up. Like, mm-hmm. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
And I that's my theory.
Right.
He was like, you know,
you don't want to piss her off before you get the mm-hmm. gifts, before you mm-hmm. go for the dinner that she's paying for. And now it's the next mm-hmm. day two. And now you could sort of bring up the Harris stuff.
And she's like, you know, I just like, I don't need you to.
Oh, here, hold on, Maggie. Allow me. She talked about how maybe they could just get the short version.
It wasn't so much about, I don't know, the sex, because I know you and I are still like recovering, you know, and we're in this new environment. We haven't seen each other in 10 months. But I mean, even if you banged me for 2 or 3 minutes.
Wouldn't want to feel in the mood after that, right? That gets me in the mood.
You could just bang me for 2 or 3 minutes. It's fine.
Yeah.
Puya, did you catch the name of the episode on your DVR?
Oh, yeah. The no bang theory? Yep. Yeah, they know what they're doing over there at TLC. Phenomenal title. Phenomenal. Yes. I didn't know which couple was going to be. Luckily, it was Ryan and Stephanie. Yeah,
no bang theory.
Honestly, you know, survey 100 people, of course the majority would say, yeah, I'd like to have my relations take about the same amount of time as it would to make Maruchan noodles or a Hot Pocket. Like, everyone is in for this, apparently. No, I'm obviously being sarcastic. Stephanie is wiling. I do not know why she, like, how is this supposed to make her feel, if anything, this would make me feel some type of way of like, 2 minutes? 2 minutes? Like, there's songs longer than this. Like, the song didn't finish. We're at the interlude still. Why are you okay with this? Stephanie, come on now.
Yeah.
Love yourself.
Although we were very impressed with Ryan last week. But maybe if it's four times a night on average, 2-3 minutes, maybe it's like, you know, 12 minutes total.
If I had someone say, why don't you just bang me for 2 or 3 minutes, I would get up and leave. Like, I would just be like, that's enough now. Goodbye forever.
Yeah. Okay, like, but it's not about the sex. It's just about the connection.
Again, for the bonding, not for the big... Wasn't expecting a big magic show.
Yeah, how does the magic show work?
I mean, the disappearing this, pulling this out of the hat. I don't know. They got the neon lights with the rubbers. Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to find out. But that's my problem with all this, is that you cannot be advertising this man as a stallion of 4 times a night, 6-hour sessions, and then be like, yeah, the compromise is 3 minutes. Like, shouldn't the compromise at that point be like 30 minutes? Like,
whoa,
I feel, again. Yeah. I'm not good at math. We've talked. I'm not good at conversion rates. We've learned this about my Fahrenheit to Celsius. So do not quote me at any of these numbers.
That's 30 minutes in the metric system. Yeah.
Right. Potentially here. No, but I mean, ultimately for me, I don't know, the whole like the she wants this for the bonding. And again, I would like to argue that if she is experiencing an hour long and then the bonding is 3 minutes, like, mm-hmm. wouldn't that be negative bonding? Wouldn't you feel like, oh, maybe it was, I don't know, team. I don't know. It's confusing to me. It's confusing. Her desires here are confusing.
So, all right. Well, let me say on Stephanie's behalf that I would say that I think she is just looking for a signal that everything is okay. Like things are cool, where that she has now gotten there and she was under the impression he could not wait. And he is like, you know, she's put the key lime yogurt in the dish for the cat, and the cat is not coming up to the bowl. It's like, wait, there must be something wrong here. Why you love this key lime yogurt? Why aren't you even you would not, you're not even gonna give it a taste?
I cannot.
It used
wait
to be
for
your
Stephanie
favorite
single.
Yeah,
yeah. No.
I want Stephanie to play Big Brother. That's the conclusion I've drawn from watching Stephanie. I need her. She sort of reminds me of Sheriff Kathy if she was into like Belizean men. And youth serum rather than sheriff. I don't know. I think Stephanie like just has absolutely no like tact.
Yeah,
you know, there's just right. obviously no tact there.
Yep.
And yeah, she's looking for a signal that everything is okay, because that would be alarming if you hadn't seen your partner in 10 months and then, you know, you aren't intimate on the first night. Like, I could understand why you would be like, what's going on here? That's a clear sign that something's up. But like, there's just absolutely no tact. It's all accusation.
Yes.
And then the solutions that she's trying to offer are just all wrong. And yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, Pia, she's also like a little bit twisted in that, you know, she is asking him of like, oh, you don't want to have sex? Why? How many women have you been having sex with? When it's really like that she's the person that has the confession to make. I feel like that's the kind of thing, like the person who's the criminal, like always thinks everybody else is always stealing from them.
Yeah, I think that obviously we've kind of talked about, do we think he's lying? Do we think?
I think he's lying also.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
obviously.
Well, like her approach, as you know, like you said, someone who has this skeleton in the closet to share is so off, because no matter how much she accuses him, this is his Uno reverse card. If the minute he throws this back on her and says, hey, what about my cousin? What's going to happen there? Like, he's got this card and he's going to get it done. Like, it's just as simple as that.
Is literally holding the Uno reverse card. I like that. It's an audio podcast, but I like the dedication.
Listen, I'm here for the long haul. So you're getting a magic show from me with these podcasts. I'm always here with the props.
Good. I'm glad you didn't just give us the 2-3 minute short TikTok version.
The TikTok edition of the podcast wouldn't be as great. This is important.
Yeah. But we just do it for the connection. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the shot of Ryan in bed where it's like almost level to his face. So he's like sort of, and there's moments where she's asking him questions and he just stares down the camera directly, like Jim from The Office. I was like, Ryan, you are really coming in great with these looks to the camera, because we're all feeling the way that you're feeling right now.
Yeah, he plays things up for the camera, definitely.
Yes. Yes. He's fun too, honestly. Like Stephanie and Ryan are fun to watch. They don't get me angry the way that the others do, because it's just clearly a train wreck.
Yeah, they're both, you know, so ridiculous. They're not real people. Yeah, Stephanie, exactly. And Ryan, they're both cartoon characters, the two of them. All right, so that she is asking him about what's going on, and that she keeps bringing up how he was texting girls, and then he says, yeah, well, what happened after that? And then she is going to go there. She's going to go there. She's going to tell him about it. And later on the episode, we get the reveal that she's going to basically break down and tell the truth. And she says that after they got into the big fight, cousin Harris came over and he made her feel special and he spent the night with her. And he knew.
And she.
He been knew.
She has the ultimate face crack and he goes, well, I already knew that. And it is the ultimate Uno reverse card, Puya. He says, well, you didn't even, I was just waiting for you to tell me. I've known for a year. And she's like, you knew? Why would you hold it in? And he's like, well, why did you hold it in? Huh? Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's fireworks everywhere.
I loved it, because in her head you could clearly tell she was gonna confess and like he was gonna be upset and he was gonna be broken, but when his reaction is I knew, she's like, wait,
what? No. You knew. He already knew it. And he tells us this about cousin Harris.
I think Harris is that ass.
He's the a-hole, Puya.
Man, if only we found this out about a week sooner, this would have been a great
Dear Rob and Akiva, that my cousin was dating a woman from the United States of America, and I found my cousin texting with other women. So I went over to make his fiance feel better, and we had sex. Am I the a-hole?
Yes. Well,
yes, Harris, yes. Yeah, if I may segue us into the Bears all territory real quick, because cousin Harris does a sit down interview with Sean Robinson.
Okay, great. Because I want to talk about cousin Harris. That we do not hear from him in the episode. All we get is a file photo of cousin Harris. We have one photo of cousin Harris. And if I may, I'd like to describe the photo that we get of cousin Harris. Maggie's
Please
laughing.
Do.
Yes. Yeah. So
this is all legs.
I should screenshot it because I have it paused on the. So cousin Harris is in bed horizontal. Okay. He is in a tank top and boxers. He has a mixed drink next to him. And he like has his like legs akimbo of I don't know what pose this is.
It looks like 80% of his body is his legs.
Yeah. like was this like right before the moment of like here, I'll pose for a picture, Harris. There he is. All right. Tell us about cousin Harris, Puya.
So they do the thing where they gave us Harris's story from that night, like what happened. And this is like edited before he sits down to speak on this stuff. So, first of all, they had Ryan there to kind of explain. He was very mad, obviously. He said, I've not talked to my cousin since, blah, blah, blah. Sean was like, well, we have this video package, Ryan, if you'd be okay to see if cousin Harris. And Ryan switched off. Left the call. He did not stay for the call. So
okay.
Ryan didn't get to see this. He hung up on him. So
he didn't want to see cousin Harris
that badly.
I'll never forgive him.
So cousin Harris,
he's a backstabber.
What happened was they went to dinner, the three of them, and This is his story. Ryan leaves to go to the bathroom and Stephanie hits on him, lifts his shirt to see what's underneath, that kind of stuff. And he says this. This is him quoting. Oh, I'm not boy. Making this up. Right. And then he says a couple days later, Stephanie texts him, says they've had a fight. Like, I've kicked him out. Come over at 9 p.m. sharp. And he's like, I was excited. I thought she was beautiful. I was ready to go. I went there. And she, you know, asked me to see me with my shirt off again. I asked if she wanted to see more. She said yes. So I took everything off and I went at it. And then he says it very graphically, which I will spare those details if you want that. Lord knows they're giving you many promotions to look at Discovery yeah. Plus. Just take the 7-day trial to find that out. But he says his full intention is to do it again. So he is still after Stephanie. He still likes Stephanie by the sounds of it mm-hmm. here.
Also sought after.
Yeah. Good clarification to make. Harris says that Ryan is his third cousin. Now, I don't know if that's like third cousin in the connection way or like age-wise, he's the third oldest. I don't know like if it's first cousins, but yeah. third oldest. I don't know.
Yeah, I think probably in connection. I don't think that it's age order.
I would hope not. That would make no sense to me.
Yeah. Third cousin. All right. So... And did Stephanie weigh in? Does she say that she doesn't like Harris?
So Stephanie wasn't there for this. Sean was doing this interview with him with Big Ed in the studio.
Oh.
Yeah, and Big Ed was like talking about cheating is a symptom of something else. Like Big Ed was really trying to go full psychiatrist. Rob, you should watch this because at the start, they start the show with Big Ed playing the piano.
Oh, so, yeah. I saw the commercial for it. They didn't show anybody from this season, so I didn't prioritize watching it before this podcast.
Yeah. And then the one other thing that Sean asked was, hey, Harris, do you regret this? And Harris said, Ryan treats her badly when he drinks. He doesn't really hang out with her. He doesn't caress her. He doesn't console her. I didn't like that. And then Sean asked, well, how does your family take all this? He said, they don't know. She said, well, everyone's going to know now. What are you going to do then? And then Harris like replied with like hitting on Sean. Sean on all this, like hitting on the host. And Sean was like, I am not.
He's a ladies
this.
Man.
Apparently, Cousin Harris gets around.
Yeah.
But that's your Bears All scoop for this week.
Yeah.
Thank okay. you, Pooya. That was amazing.
Boy. Yeah.
This I is... watch it so you don't have to. I got you.
Thank you. It's like me and my mom with the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. This whole Ryan Harris situation is like you versus the guy she told you not to worry about.
Yeah. Big time. Big time.
Yeah.
Wonder how many watches he gets.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Where do we go from here with Stephanie and Ryan, Maggie?
Like which couple is next?
No, I mean like where do they go from here? Like do they
I feel
end
like
up
they break up, right? But it doesn't seem like that's what's gonna happen. Like I feel like Ryan really wants to get to America and Stephanie really wants to bring him to America. So I feel like if we're lucky enough, we will see Ryan in America at some point.
So
fingers crossed.
Remember that one phone call, video call they had where Ryan said, I have a big, big plan. It's such a sweet plan. I think all along he knew the minute I throw this in her face, if I knew this, she's going to feel so bad that she's going to go full force with this moving me over and I'm going to get what I wanted. Because no matter what she does, she slept with my cousin. That's family. That's wrong. So it's a good, again, it's a good reverse card to have because he's going to win every argument at this point out. And I think that Stephanie's kind of either Stephanie breaks them up or he's going to move here. Like that's how I see it.
Strategically, Pooya, did Ryan play this reverse card at the right moment? Shouldn't he have waited until he got caught?
See, that's a thing that could be a possibility. I think that this is good the way he played it now. Cause let's say that he is the whole reason they didn't sleep together is because he just can't do it since Harris has done that now. And like, he's been upset about it. Now it's justified. Now he doesn't do it this night, doesn't do it the next night because he can't get over this. It works for him. And while she's there, obviously he's not going to be doing anything else. And he's clearly wiped his phone clean. So he's going to be on easy street until she leaves Belize. And then clearly whatever he's been doing these 10 months, he's going to get away with doing again.
Wait, so you're saying that this is a chore for him to be with Stephanie?
I mean, listen, it just like, did you see the way this guy was drowning in that bed? Like, he was really not wanting to be there. He would have literally rather evaporate into the beaches of Ladyville with his buddies.
Yeah. Then why does he go four times a night?
That's what I'm saying, Rob. The advertising doesn't match the listing. I feel like this was one of those things where they're like, come on over. We've got, you know, no credit check. Anyone can get a car. And you're like,
here, listen to him. This is him last week.
You know, I have a lot of stamina. We do it four times a night, six nights straight.
All right. Okay.
She's a bit over the age, but yeah, she keeps up.
I mean, doesn't sound like that he's like, another day, another morning, another Stephanie.
But then, like, Steve's baby, you know, man. She's talking about this, like, this medium that she has who says that, like, you know, they thought that Ryan was going to cheat on her, and, like, you know, she's just like doing all these kooky things that, like, I feel like if I was Ryan, I would be like, I thought I could do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I could tough it out because I want to get to America and have my bills paid. Mm-hmm. But with her in front of me, it's just so hard.
Okay. Well, like, he's mentioned in his the 90 Day Barrel last week, his exclusive, he talked about how his other friends were really lucky where they were able to find the right one who got them to America quickly. And that was I think that was a shot at Stephanie, because they've been together, what, 3 years now and nothing's happened. So I definitely think that it's very long and tedious. And obviously, while they're together, like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to fool her, I'm going to do stuff. But it sounds like the more and more they've been together, the more and more the relationship strained, because Stephanie is constantly breathing down his neck on his phone activities, asking for logs. And I think he's starting to get fed up, but it's a weird line for him to try and walk. So it is very fascinating for me, because they are genuinely not a match at all, mm-hmm. at all. So it's just fascinating because they each have motives in here, but I don't think those motives are going to coincide. We'll just have to wait and see how they're going to play it out here.
Okay. All right. Maggie, anything else on the Stephanie and Ryan of it all?
No, just that they're my favorite.
Okay.
I love them.
All right. So let's keep going. Where do you want to go? We still have to talk about Mike and Natalie, Tariq and Hazel, and Jovi and Yara.
Let's do Natalie and Mike.
Okay, good. I'm excited to talk about Natalie and Mike, because I feel like that I get a lot of enjoyment out of Natalie and Mike. They were a little bit boring at the start of the season, but mm-hmm. There's something every week with them.
I've never seen two people hate each other more than Natalie and Mike hate each other.
I don't think that Natalie hates Mike so much.
I think that Natalie really wants to get married and really wants Mike to be the one.
Yes.
I think she really, really does. Okay, so just to start the week, you know, his mom is still there and she's about to leave, which, by the way, I loved his mom. I thought that his mom was like the most sane person there. She was like actually, you know, calling him out a little bit, calling Natalie out a little bit, you know.
And, well, you know why, right? All the butter.
I was going to say butter being good for your mind.
Butter is really good for your mind.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's the same sort of thing though that Mike has, right? Where Mike seems normal and then like is obsessed with aliens. Like his mom seems normal and then thinks butter's good for your mind. Like mm-hmm. there's just like a little something, you mm-hmm. know, like a sprinkle of
don't
of
say sprinkles around Booyah. Yeah.
Help us out. Oh, sorry. Yeah. She's leaving and she's like, you know, I think you two have both hurt each other a little bit. That's like the understatement of the century. Mm-hmm. I feel like both of them are always trying to see. They both always want to be the first person who hurts the other one, because Mike clearly, you know, Puya, you've talked about this a lot and it's so true. Like Mike clearly is still so hurt by what she did and he doesn't want her there. The relationship is over for him. And Natalie really actually genuinely trying to make it work. But if you've ever been in a situation where you know that the person is not as into you as you are into them, where you know that you're hanging on by a thread, your behavior becomes a bit more erratic because you start to feel super insecure. And Natalie says that all the time. She's like, I don't feel secure. I feel really insecure because she's being treated like she's a nuisance while she's there. Like this guy that she's trying to give her love to is treating her really poorly. And then, but then, you know, she obviously lashes out like crazy and then you get fights like you crazy drunk man.
Low-class drunk man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Low class. Oh, how could I forget? Low class drunk man. But I just think that she should have never come. She should have never come because he has no intention of being with her.
So it's very weird for me to say this. I mean, I will still preface every time we talk about them, like they're both awful. Okay. Mm-hmm. However, I have a lot more sympathy for Mike after this episode, like genuinely more sympathy for him than I thought I would have. And it's because, well, so like obviously the mom stuff happens, but the whole episode, all we see is, you know, Natalie pestering for this marriage. Like, when are we doing the wedding planning? But Mike has said multiple times, like, I think we need to work on us. And I know he works at a glacial pace based on the fact that there are already 50 days to the wedding, like 50 days to the visa ending. So we're about to hit like the halfway mark. But I do think that he intends on maybe trying to fix it, but the wound is so big, team. Like, he got hurt on national TV, and I think he recognized, like, the TV of it all also impacts him heavily. Like, she humiliated him on TV is the way he sees it.
Mm-hmm. So I actually came away from this episode being more sympathetic to Natalie. Because, I just feel like that Mike is, like, very disingenuous here because, as Natalie told us, like, when mother was here, she, he talked about the wedding, and then like, if he does not want to get married, like he needs to tell her, like, let her go home, like just end this. But he's like playing out the string and like, we'll work on that. We'll down the road. Yeah. We'll figure it out. And she's asking him questions like, okay, Mike, well, so we need to figure it out. What's the budget here? What are we doing? What's the date? Well, like, how are we? Is mama coming? And he's like, and he gives her not even half answers of like, he just like deflects everything with some stupid joke. And like, he is so clearly checked out. He wants nothing to do with this. He wants her to go home, but he does not say that.
Yeah, I think that he went out of his way to not give in to any of this talk until his mom made him do it, basically. And we've seen it on multiple occasions now. Well, like, Natalie will just spew out the mouth to anybody that can hear their story. Like, she's done it with the waiter at the restaurant. She did it with the clerk this week. She did it with the mom, where she just overshares. And I think that is when you can clearly tell Mike has zero intention of going through with this, is when it happens in front of somebody. He's like, yeah, I don't want to do this. And now you're trying to embarrass me all over again. So I'm out on it more.
She does it in a really passive aggressive way, right? Yes. Like Natalie says in the episode, she's like, I can't stand criticism. So the big moment for me that I was like, poor Natalie, because this guy he's just not into you, right? He's just not into you. And she's in the car and they're going to go hiking and she's taking the time to put on makeup and try to look pretty. And she's got a brave face on and she's like, I'm so excited to go hiking. And he's like, why are you wearing that makeup? You look, why would you put on makeup to go hiking? Which would be so, like, that would be heartbreaking for me if I was like trying to look pretty for my partner and they were like, you look ridiculous.
Maggie, I thought this was worse actually than the makeup, because then she's also like trying to smell nice and she puts on some sort of a lotion and that he touches her hand and tells her,
you're all greasy and slimy.
You're all greasy and slimy.
He just wants to break up with her. Like, these are all the signs that he does not want to be in this relationship anyway. He doesn't even want to hold her hand. When you don't want to hold your partner's hand, you got to go.
And when you say your partner's hand is slimy.
I don't think, here's the thing, let's be honest. I don't think Mike understands what lotion is. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear that she's used lotion before leaving the house. Mike is not that kind of guy. He's not using lotion. So it definitely, he was like, what is that feeling? What's that sensation? It's like, it's called staying moisturized, Mike. Learn. Mm-hmm. But before anyone's like, wow, Puya was like in Mike's corner. The only place I am is what happened right after this, where Natalie says, I can't stand criticism, especially from people I know I'm close to. I can't stand it. That's when I replayed every moment where she's, you know, judging the way he's eating, the things he's drinking, the things he wants to do. His closet smells this, that he's a low-class drunk man. I'm like, you've spent so much time criticizing this guy, but you can't, like, take it. Like, you can't have it happen to you. Then that's a problem, because he's clearly trying to dish it back because you're hurting him. He's trying to hurt you back. So it's like a cycle. And, you know, again, the more and more they're together, it's like, can we just end this? I genuinely am predicting that this season, the finale for them is her going back to the airport.
I don't
think we've ever seen that, but I genuinely think that there is not going to be any progression here.
They're both bad, Mike and Natalie.
Oh yeah,
where that, you know, he is not up front with her. Like, he gives her like half answers, and then she like, okay, well, he's not engaging me in this way. So that's when she gets into like the insults of like, okay, well, let me try to, you know, poke the bear a little bit more and see if I can at least get a reaction. So he drops like these like pretenses of like being all coy with her. At least if she got to like the real raw emotion, they'd be getting somewhere, I think, is what she's trying to ultimately get to.
But that's why I said they hate each other, because they are not treating each other the way that you treat someone that you love.
Yeah.
Like, you would never like call someone fat, or you, like, if you loved them, you would never do that. You would never, anytime the person that you love brings up your future together, like, but then say, I really want you to be healthy. Like, let's go. Why don't we work out together?
Yeah.
Like, why is it always him at the table in front of the cameras, embarrassing him, saying that he's fat and that he's unhealthy? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really terrible. And I just think that they both just need to because he does to her what he knows is going to hurt her most, because she's there and she's starting to talk about she wants this for their wedding table. Mm-hmm. And of course he has to pick up the two things that hold alcohol, because he knows that's going to piss her off.
Yes.
It's just like
when they go to the store,
they can't, like, they, it's tit for tat with them, like his mom was saying. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know,
let's talk about the happiest moment of the week for Mike and Natalie, because they go off to go hiking. And this is a weird thing about Natalie, where we see sometimes that she does seem super miserable, and then other times she gets like really giddy. And it feels like that if she's not in the house, it does seem to be that's where the on off switch is. Like, I think she does really hate being at Mike's house.
I think it's, she does not like Mike's house. She's been very critical of, obviously, the cleanliness, the space. Now we learn the closet is smelly. She doesn't like the closet smell. So there's definitely, that house makes her miserable. And then she's alone there.
Yeah.
So like, it's just that on top of that. She is a nature girl, but she doesn't want to be in nature where there's bears right outside.
Right.
Like, she's not about to do any of that either.
Right. Not since the waterfall have we seen her giddy like this. And we see at some point she finds a tree, and it's a tree that she really likes.
I smell tree because, I don't know, I just, it gives me so much energy and I love it. I'm like, this makes me happy. I feel like I'm alive.
Yeah, Maggie, what was going on with the tree?
I truly thought she was making out with the tree.
Yeah.
I like full on was like, is she tonguing the tree? Like, what is happening here? I think that she just, this is the thing about Natalie. I think she was excited to be doing something with Mike, because also this is something that like we haven't really talked about. I think maybe Lauren brought it up when she was on, but Mike drives 6 hours a day to work. Like, he drives like 3 hours there and 3 hours back. That is terrible.
Yeah, what is
so
his
I'm
job?
Sure, I don't know, but like, he needs
Uber?
To get a new one, or he needs to move. Like,
oh,
I don't, it's not worth it, you know? But I'm sure exhausted all the time, has to get up really early, gets home really late. So she probably doesn't see him during the week. So my guess is that she was so excited to hang out with him. They were going to go on this hike. She put on all this makeup. She was trying really, like, I think she is getting giddy, but I also think that when Natalie is nervous and really trying, she gets this overly giddy way, like with Uncle Bo and his stylish man ever, you know, with the waterfall. I think she just like puts on, and she's really putting on a brave face. And so she sort of overcompensates by being giddy and weird and making out with the tree, because she feels insecure around Mike. And she's trying to make it be like, see, I don't hate everything. See, I am happy. Like, see, we can be happy together.
Yeah, but she was, it's one thing to be excited to be in the woods, but she did seem like she was like literally hugging the tree.
Yeah, no, not since a Bollywood movie has a tree been the focal point of the action like this. Like, I was like, where's the song and dance about to come out? Like, I didn't get it. I mean, listen, I've seen Fans of Nature. I'm an enthusiast. I'm not a big mm-hmm. fan. But fine. I've never seen this. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I can smell the tree from here. Mm-hmm. I don't need, you know, I'm not about to give it a nose kiss. Like, that's not going to mm-hmm. happen. But mm-hmm. she was just very enthusiastic. I think there's something to be said about the fact that when she is out with him, it's kind of like a glimpse of this is what our life could be. You know, this is what we could be doing if we're hanging out. So mm-hmm. that is good. But it's funny because someone like Mike, that stuff's not going to get to him. He's just looking at this being like, you're being weird. Like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to translate the way she's going to want it to, if that is her true intention.
Yeah, Mike is sort of like, let's keep going. Let's not get stuck on the trees. But Natalie, you know, wants to clear things up.
I like hiking a lot. I think it's really healthy and normal. Mm-hmm. I'm very normal.
Yeah, hiking, it's very healthy and normal. I just want to be clear. It's normal.
I think she doesn't, like, she cares for Mike, but this is not the guy that she wants, has ever thought that she was going to marry. Like, she wants a guy who loves God and who doesn't drink and who is healthy and will eat a carrot for breakfast with her. And that will never, ever, ever be Mike.
Yeah,
it just won't.
Go smell a tree.
Yeah, like, it just won't. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to tell them, like, it's okay. Go home, Natalie. Mike, tell her to go home. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It will actually be less painful than you spending the next 90 days together.
Mike does an interview with the producer, and I do love it anytime you hear the producer question on 90 Day Fiancé. This is the producer.
What's going on in Natalie's head?
I don't know.
Mike is so checked out. Like, I don't know. This is a nightmare every day. Is it 90 days yet?
Yeah, this show is basically his Uncle Bo severance package money. He's going to get all this money. He's going to send it over to Uncle Bo. Uncle Bo's going to make a nice little shack on the corner of the land they have. And they're going to redecorate his house. Like, that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
So they go from the hike. They go to the store. And they're in some sort of, like, antique store. Natalie is looking to get some nice smell for the closet. And... they're looking at different things. They see a baby carriage. He's like, oh, look, Mike. Oh, look, carriage.
And he's like, what is that? Yeah. He's not into the baby carriage.
Yeah.
He's like, put that away.
If you thought Jovi getting a pregnancy test positive was bad, imagine if Natalie came home. Mike, guess what? But he is, but then we talked about how he picked up, like, the glass, like, decanters of, like, hey, these will be great for alcohol. Just to make her mad. And then poor this woman that worked in the store, Puya, of that they end up like talking about the wedding and he's not giving her the information and they get into a whole fight in the store.
Anytime someone overshares at a counter, whether I'm on behind the line or I'm the one helping, it's like, just pay and move, please. Like, I'm like, how's your day? Good. That's great. That's all I needed was good. And I'll ring you up and I'll let you go about your day. But this is what I'm saying is that Natalie puts Mike in these positions because I think she thinks that she will get some kind of answer out of him. And what she doesn't realize is this is just like humiliating somebody in front of people all over again of like, so I don't know when the wedding, I'm here on a K-1. Like, she was too specific. Team, like, she was like, so yeah, I'm on a K-1 visa, which means that I'm here on a fiance visa. That means that I'm gonna get married. That means that he's gonna have a marriage with me, but we don't really have plans yet. My mom's gonna fly
over. I don't have a ring yet,
and my mom's gonna fly over, and his mom said butter's really good for the mind, and that Uncle Bo is the most stylish man. You would love to meet Uncle Bo. Like, mm-hmm. she goes off on this whole soliloquy, and this lady's like, ma'am, it's $38.50. Like, are you card or cash? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, oh gosh. And that's the thing, like, right, she's trying to be passive aggressive towards Mike. She's like basically shouting, like, he is not planning the wedding. Don't you think that's terrible? He's really looking for the Yara Jovi salesperson to tell him that he needs a Snickers and that he should be planning the wedding, you know? And unfortunately, this sweet lady at the shop with the soap is not that person.
Mm-hmm. She's just like, Snickers off a soap.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get them both the Snickers.
Exactly.
And for every guest at the wedding. Yeah. Poor store lady. Poor mama who just wants to come to the wedding. Just shut it all down.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it all down, Mike and Natalie.
Save everyone's time. Let's move on. But like, here's the thing. I say that in a real life state. Keep them on the show till the tell-all. I need them every week because you are right. Like, I think a lot of us, if you survey everybody, we're talking Brandon and Julia, number one, probably with a second is Ryan and Stephanie. And that's where we're all going to universally be.
Yeah.
But I think very clearly, Mike and Natalie have something to move the needle every single week.
Mm-hmm. They are clearly the 90 Day Fiancé Intercontinental Champions.
Yes. They're not like, on the main
picture. They're not title headlining. Picture. They never get like the Chiron on the bottom of the screen where you see their faces, Mike and Natalie, but they are like solid parts of this season.
Yes.
It's also fun to watch because like the I find it much more fun and less frustrating to watch a relationship where both of the people have problems. Like, I'm very frustrated with Rebecca and Ziad. I'm very frustrated with Brandon and Julia. But Mike and Natalie, like, I feel like I can look at it more objectively and be like, this is why it's not working, because this person has this stuff they need to figure out and this person has this stuff they need to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I think that as a viewer, it's more fun. Like, you're gonna try to get in their heads a little bit more, like Mike doesn't want to with Natalie, but
yeah. All right, Maggie, would you rather talk about Jovi and Yara or Tariq and Hazel?
I don't know. I'm not sure we should save Jovi and Yara for the end just because it's a lot.
Yeah,
but
okay, so then let's do Jovi and Yara, and then we'll have Tariq and Hazel as a palate cleanser
the end.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. So we started off with Jovi and Yara, a little bit of a reset of the airport pickup, and then she was mad about him. So they're going to go and just go and walk things off. And they take a trip around the French Quarter, and they stop by Henna by Jenna. Wait, do you think this woman's name is really Jenna? Or do you think that she's like, I got a henna shop. My name is Mary. I'm Henna by Jenna.
I think that the branding is important because it's either she just changed her name to have a stage name like Jenna, Henna, Jenna, good marketing, or her name is Jenna. She's like, what can I do with my talents that rhymes? And Henna was naturally the only thing available.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I would lean towards it's a stage name.
Maggie, have you ever gotten a henna tattoo?
I have. I had in my first grade class, we had a girl whose mother, they were from India. Her mother was born in India and she came over and she gave us all henna tattoos in first grade. It was really lovely, actually. But like, I never participated in the trend of like, you know, teenage girls getting the bottles of henna at Forever 21. Like, clearly Henna by Jenna did because, you know, it's like a very big cultural thing that, you know, people do that, you know, white girls have decided that they can put up a card table and get more than they bargained for with their customers.
Yeah. Okay.
With a hat, right? With a fedora hat that she's wearing. She's like a Yankee Doodle hat.
Okay. So Yara wants to get the tattoo. So she sits down and, you know, I guess it's boring because you gotta sit there for a while. And so she's going to make some small talk and tells Jovi, guess what? Pregnant.
Could there have been a better time, perhaps? I feel like maybe at the coffee shop in the line when you were looking at that awful decoration that you didn't like. Did we really have to have Jenna involved?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did Jenna need... Because Jenna just said, I'm going to freehand. I'm going to use freestyle henna tattoo design. And you said, okay... Do you really want this silence to be more awkward while she's putting this? She is literally going to short you to get you out of here.
Yeah,
I don't think Jenna wants any part of this.
She's like speed henna-ing. Yeah. She's like, oh my God, am I like squiggly line, go.
So thank God it wasn't a real tattoo.
Oh, no. Yeah, that would have been horrible. And I love the unsubtlety of she mouths pregnant to Jovi. And then Jovi's like, what? like Jovi. She's hinting at it so you don't share this with her. Like, that's clearly what's happening. But could anyone have responded worse to this news? This was the worst way he could have reacted to this. Short of getting up and running the other direction. It's the worst thing he could have done.
Leave her there with Jenna.
Yeah.
She's yours now.
Leave. Run.
Her saying, I'm pregnant, and Jovi saying, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? And then obviously you get more context where she's played this prank on him before, which is a horrible thing to have done.
Like, yes.
The real Vinny and DJ Paulie D over here.
Oh, like, my God.
I mean, Natalie and Mike, this is the thing about Jovi and Yara. Like, Jovi sucks. Like, Jovi is terrible. Like, he's an awful, he's a bad guy. He's the type of guy who, like, in high school would have, like, called girls fat. You know, that's just Jovi. It's fine.
He's a trash bag. He's a trash bag. Yeah. 100%.
Yara is no peach either, right? Like, I wish I liked Yara more because then it would be easier to dunk on Jovi. Mm-hmm. But, like, Yara is never happy. She's constantly criticizing. She thinks everything sucks. She thinks Jovi's terrible. She thinks New Orleans is terrible. She's completely miserable all the time, and she's never even trying. So, like, and then you find out that she played this terrible prank on Jovi before. So you've just got two terrible people in a situation where they're both behaving terribly in response to it. Mm-hmm. And Jen is just sitting there.
I really like this other tweet from Phoebe the fan, who told us Jovi's really showing his entire ass in front of this henna girl.
He did not hold back for someone that's sitting there with a third party. He did
not
care.
No, you're not. Yeah. You're not pregnant. It's like, yes. No, come on. Stop it.
The only thing that would have made this better is if they were back at that furniture store for round two when she breaks this news, because she would not have held punches back.
Yeah. So they go back to the apartment and they're going to do another pregnancy test. OK.
Yes.
And then we find out later, I'm not sure at what point in the episode we find out that she did do this joke to him before, which is now, you know, this is a good, like, girl who cried wolf story for everybody.
Right.
You know? Like, right. You know, if you say, like, you know, hey, I'm being audited. Just kidding. When the IRS is really coming, nobody believes you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not the move at all. And I think obviously they've talked about how sensitive that time was for the both of them. Obviously, ultimately, this might have been her coping mechanism. I'm like, she finds like humor helped her like get through it or something. But I do think, I still think that Jovi reacts horribly. Like, even if Liana's about to prank me with the same thing for the eighth time, my starting sentence will still be the, just in case it's factual, that's how I'm going to operate. I would never go this way. It's just, because like, on that 1% chance that it's actually true this time, you are a whole horse's ass. Like, you really are. And but, like, here's the thing. Did he really need to lock himself in the bathroom with her?
Maggie, did he have to then watch her pee on the stick?
I mean, he probably was like, I'm going to watch you take it because you used your old one to prank me. He's like, you might have like one here. Then you guys should not be even thinking about having a baby together. If you don't trust your partner enough that you're going to stand there and watch her piss on a stick, like, no, this relationship is over.
Is he the parole officer? Yeah. Like, why is he doing this?
Does she have the Wizinator?
And like, then she's like, okay, now you can open the door. Like,
Ontario Smith?
For Yara, how violating does it have to feel to be peeing, have your boyfriend staring at you peeing, and then a camera crew on the other side of the bathroom door? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But it's like drug testing her.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, what does he think? She's like coloring in the lines in there if she's going to have a false positive?
Like, this was wild stuff. And then, listen, and then he gets the result. It's negative, right?
Well, because she rinsed the test underwater. Right. She rinsed, like, she peed on it. And then immediately, I was like, she's rinsing it. I was like, she's rinsing off the pee. It's not going to be there. Because last week, I remember you were like, oh, the line is like really faint. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, but even if it's really faint, that means you're pregnant.
Yes.
Like, because it just depends on how early it happened. Mm-hmm.
So,
but
I wonder then, did like the third pregnancy test, now they have moved on to the LED digital screen. I wonder if production was just like, enough of this. You two morons, you can't screw this one up.
Mm-hmm.
It's foolproof.
It's on us. Budget will take care of this. Here, we need one that we can read the word on the screen.
Like, because I think that you pee on the end of the stick and then it shows up in the middle of the stick.
Sounds about
right. But she was rinsing it in the middle where the lines would be. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that totally...
I don't know anything about this. This is whole new information. So fairness, it's not normal to rinse.
Oh yeah. In fairness, Jovi has had a ex-girlfriend that peed in the bed. So maybe he's like a little bit too much of like, hey, I'm not touching anything with pee pee on it. Peed on.
Maybe that's why he wanted to be in there watching. Maybe he's into that, Rob. Maybe he was she peed the bed.
He's too comfortable. He's like, all right, we'll lock this door. And then he's like, oh, you're going to do it again now.
He's like, we're going to do another one. Okay. It was a good time.
All right.
Well, can we talk about the fact that literally, again, he's in this position where he finds out the result is negative. Or he takes the result as negative. In his head, he thinks, what's the worst possible thing I could say at this moment? Oh, yeah, that's right. You lied to me then. You were lying this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, don't say that. Oh. I just feel like come on. Like,
that's not where I thought you were going. I thought you were going to mention when he says, I'm going to drink some alcohol right now.
That was next. Yeah, he's like, I'm too stressed. You're stressed that she isn't or that she's lying? Like, he was looking for an excuse in that.
I need a Jack and Coke right now.
It's noon. I had one already off the airport. It's time for my next one.
He needs the green drink that Julia had is what he needs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it swamp water?
He does a couple of those a night. After all that, then, what do you think of Jovi's reaction to finding out, she is pregnant, Maggie?
He's like trying to muster up as much excitement as he possibly can.
Yeah.
After he showed his whole ass, he's like, oh, I guess you weren't lying.
Yeah.
I am sorry I reacted that way, Yara. My future child will see this video, so now I have to least act like I'm pregnant. Or act like I'm happy. He's like, oh God, my child's gonna watch me be all pissed off that they happened.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, of course I'm happy. Like, gun to his head, you know?
He gets a confessional here towards the end of the episode.
I guess she really is pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, it happens. Like, so matter of fact. So, like, I don't know. It is what it is.
I'm sorry. Does nobody know how, like, getting pregnant works? Because everybody's been, like, both Yara's friend, Jovi, Yara herself, were like, I've only been here a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
If you're there 3 weeks, you can if you're there one day, you can get pregnant. What do you mean? You're, like, shocked because it's only been a few weeks. What? These people.
Yeah. So, all right. Is Jovi ready to be a dad, Puya? What do you think?
Jovi's not ready to be an adult, Rob. Jovi is almost 30 and he's still out here partying. I cannot wait for this next episode. 2 weeks is too long to see Jovi with his brovies hanging out and talking smack.
So, like, I'm not sure. Is that the next episode or do we get like a later this season?
Okay, so that is a good point.
I'm not sure if it's exactly, but yeah, he's gonna go to like a barbecue, and like his friends are like, I mean, all his friends know he is not ready to have kids.
Like, how long does it take for this until she gets her thing? 3 years? Yeah, that's how long this wedding's gonna be. Cheers! Like, they're just really putting the roast on him,
and he's like, ha ha ha, like laughing along as though it's not his life.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sarah tried to warn her,
That's right.
Yeah,
she did.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about Tariq and Hazel, which we spent a bulk of our time with them about they're trying to add a third wheel to Tarzel, but we get sort of like an unsettling opening to Tariq and Hazel where like that they seem to know about the coronavirus. They get like a text alert. I guess Virginia shut down at some point. And then what the F? Get out of the house with the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like what the purge was about. To, like, leave. You have to leave now. Go hide.
I don't remember this day of like, you know, everybody stop what you're doing right this second. But then we got a card, Maggie, about how production was shut down and then they were allowed to come back finally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I watched also the like production value go down like 120% on the next scene. Like it was clearly like on an iPad, like they were doing it themselves, you know, which is fine. COVID, you know,
yeah,
but it was just really, it was funny. And, you know, they're just like in the kitchen doing dishes, whatever. And
yeah.
And then everybody runs out.
Yeah. But to me, the two scenes that we got of Tariq and Hazel did not really jive for me. Of one, coronavirus is so bad. There's a lockdown and we can no longer film 90 Day Fiancé because of the conditions of the coronavirus. And also, let's do online dating.
Yeah, I don't know where this couple's priority
is. So much to say.
Yes. Yes, Maggie.
Well, you brought up at the beginning of this podcast, you were like, we were talking about Rebecca and you're like, well, let's talk about Tariq. Let's talk about Tariq, because I do think on this podcast, one thing you have not talked about yet is the clear fetishization that is happening of Hazel.
Yeah.
Like Tariq opens up his entire package with him, like with a sword being like, I love Thailand so much. I was on a Thai only website. I have maps all over. I know everything about Thailand. I go every year. Like he's very clearly like, there's some obsession with this culture. And I think that Hazel just fits that, which is, you know, deeply problematic, but also, and I don't want to say, like, I do think that this is actually a couple that does care about each other. Like, I think out of everybody, like, they do like being around each other. But I also think that Hazel, you know, she's a queer woman. And it sounds as though she was in an unsafe situation back in the Philippines to be herself. And, like, you know, she can be moving to America because she, you know, loves Tariq, but also maybe she would feel safer to be herself. So like, there's just a clear for both of them. I think for both of them, it's so clearly not about the relationship. And it does seem like the relationship actually is functional and fairly good, but for both of them, it seems like it's the relationship plus this other element that I think both of them seem fine with, that the other person feels that way. Well, maybe not Hazel, because he's like, you like Thai women. She's like, you like Thai women and I'm not Thai. And he's like, well, you know, whatever. But yeah, I just, there's like an oddness umbrella over the whole thing that we haven't really explored yet. So what do you think, Rob? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, the Tariq and Hazel situation is certainly weird, where that, you know, I get the sense like I feel like that Hazel wants a girlfriend, but I don't really know if she wants Tariq part of that. It seems like, and Tariq, that he like goes through everything like again, like he was like showing her the menu in the diner of, okay, look at all these things they've got. They've got waffles, pancakes, grits. You know, we could order something from the lunch menu, maybe.
Tariq is a big dummy,
fajitas.
Isn't he? He's such a dummy.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, Tariq kind of doesn't recognize, because I do agree, because like obviously, especially, you know, for people who come from families that are more conservative or families that are more restricting and have more of a control on how they shape who you are and don't give you the room to grow and to discover who you are yourself. When you move away from that environment, obviously it is in your nature to like explore the unknown, explore the things you've wanted to explore and like see it for yourself, experience it for yourself. On like a lower scale, when I moved, being someone who hadn't experienced anything with drinking, hadn't even thought about it, hadn't even thought about eating anything of like a specific dietary restriction. I kind of opened myself up to everything, tried everything out, and then kind of made my own decision of who I am and what direction I want to take. So I do think there is an element of that. And I do think there's an element of Tariq who wants to be the cool husband who's like, I'm down. And I think he does feel a little bit upset by the way the thing with Minty ended up going, because that was a clearly... that was for him. Mm-hmm. It worked out better for him. So he's very clearly also going to be worried and jealous when he's talking about jealousy's a whole thing. Like, we need to make sure that it's us first. And I love this boldness of being like, no matter what happens, Ari's not going to know anything about this. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to keep it away from Ari. I was like, sir, your house is a mess. Ari sleeps in the same bed as you. Like, how is this going to be hidden? Like, in the mess, like, you're going to hide the new person in the laundry load you have in the corner of the room. Like, that's the best way you can do it. But like, that's not going to work. So that was wild to me. But I don't know. There's just something so funny about the way Tariq talks to Hazel. Like, when they open that shot and he's like, I brought you something nice and grapey. Oh, yeah. And it's just wine.
Brought you something real nice and grapey.
What? Who describes it like that?
Yeah.
Like, she's stupid, right? And I think that that's like he wants to be this like knight in shining armor. I think he had this whole like fantasy in his head of him like going and rescuing Hazel from her environment and like, you know, rolling out the red carpet for her. And he's sort of got like this hero's idea in his head about Hazel. And then obviously when Hazel gets to the house and is like, so I'm gonna have to clean this for you, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, you don't have to. It's great, because he's like shocked that, you know, anything that he does she would, you know, not love, because he's the hero who brought her here. But yeah, and the whole thing with Ari is like, so you only, if you have Ari like 80% of the time, it seems like you only don't have her like one weekend a month or, you know, something like that. When are you gonna see your girlfriend then? Like, she will find out.
Yeah. Well, I got the sense that those are the nights that, okay, he has Ari and then Hazel is with the girlfriend on those nights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're having date night without Tariq. And I don't know how that's going to go over with Tariq.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, well, Tariq has found this website. I guess this is a website that single women go on who want to be involved with a couple.
Yes,
I didn't know this was a thing. But Tariq has tracked this down and has found all these women, and this is what Tariq is looking for.
And if we see something hot, P-H-A-T, pretty hot and tempting, then we dive on in. Off the diving board, head first, body splash.
And Hazel luckily did not know what he was talking about.
What a verbal poet. Yeah, no, I mean, this take us back to when he proposes to her
career
in a rap song. And I was like, dude, she has no idea what you're saying. Like, this makes no, I'm barely understanding this gibberish that you've written. So I love that he talks like this very earnestly. Like, yeah, we're going to dive in head first into the puddle. You know, P-U-D-D-L-E. Like, what are you doing? Like, just, why can't you just speak straight? Like, we find someone we'd like, we're going to shoot our shot. We're going to message them. That's fine as well, Tariq. Not everything has to be this way.
Because Puya, I think he has it in his head. Like, he wants to be this like guy for Hazel. Like, he's the cool guy. He's doing, you know, he's the poet. He's the rapper. You know, he's got all this stuff going. So he's like putting on for her, you know, which is fun for us to watch, because it's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, what are you doing, Tariq? Also, I love when Hazel is talking about the people. Sorry, Puya, to cut you off.
No, go for it.
Too far. I love when Hazel's talking about the type of girl that she wants. And I have written here, she wants a hot brown girl with good breath because of kissing.
Yes. Very important.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Very fair.
Reasonable, Hazel.
Although, do people, and it's been a long time since I've been on a dating website, but do people post what their breath status is?
No, but they should.
And it's hard to tell with the, you know, if everybody's masked up, you know, you gotta go very far into it before you're gonna know what anybody's breath is like.
I feel like if at this day and age people don't have a minty to go, yes,
don't
pun
say
intended,
minty.
If you don't have something to freshen that breath at any situation, at any date, like you are playing the wrong game. Like you are in the wrong mm-hmm. place. You are not prepared to do this. Mm-hmm. Like you got, it's one of the basics. Also, might I please add, not that she's ever going to do our search, our internet history, but I do have the website open for this couples looking for a person. Mm-hmm. It's called womenlookingforcouples.com. Relatively easy to find, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum here.
Yeah, yes. Over 1.7 million are on this
no,
website.
There's not. So there's not.
That's what it says. Is lying?
There's not.
Is lying?
There's not. So there hey, are. There is no know? Way that this is a. This is going to hack your account. Do not go to this website.
I just love.
Polyamory that. It's real.
I, that, no, that is real. That's real. No mm-hmm. doubt.
I would love for them to have at least one match because I would love for the new girl to come meet them. And then she finds out, okay, so you flew in. Okay, so you came from the Philippines. Cool, cool, cool. Okay. And then you, hot sauce? How do you spell that? Oh, wow. You spell it like that? Okay. Then mm-hmm. that's your rapper? Okay, cool. Yes, I'm going to leave. Like, I don't think they're going to get a match that's going to work for them. Because
oh,
it
come
sounds
on.
Like.
You don't think we're going to see them?
Listen,
I feel like you'll see whoever comes over for a date.
Maybe. First of all, I mean, they're still in lockdown. I don't know how they're going to – maybe they're not – maybe they're lax and they're going to do it. I don't know. But they're 51 days to the wedding at this point. Like, mm-hmm. they have so many
more
important
of
things they need to be sorting out. Yeah. Imagine. Mm-hmm. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Also, Tariq, as he goes through all of the many options that he's like, we could find somebody who's tall or short. Or curvy or petite. He loses her at one point.
There's curvy, petite, which is.
What are you talking about? Deet.
Petite means like small, skinny.
A petite.
Yeah, that's what petite means.
She thinks he's talking about boobs.
Oh boy. So that's Tariq and Hazel.
I'm glad we ended with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's this going with Tariq and Hazel? Are we going to see them going
married.
On dates? Are we going to see them like bringing this third wheel in?
I hope so badly.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, we know that she misses her son and we see in the future. That's going to be part of the storyline. I do think that there's been a couple of hints that she would
not
like
fun.
To go get him.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be a thing that's going to happen. Obviously, the lighthearted side of things is going to be this this relationship that they're going to be
yes.
starting off. Yeah.
Oh, I had this thought earlier. Tariq and Hazel looking for perhaps somebody in the Virginia Beach driving radius that they could be having in their couple. Do we know anybody who may or may not be in a swinging situation in the greater Virginia Beach area?
90-day crossover?
Yes. Puya, is it possible that Betty could end up in some sort of answering an ad for Tariq and Hazel?
No offense to Betty, but on all counts of the requirement that Hazel put out, I'm 99% sure she's...
How's her
I don't
breath?
Know about the breath. Yeah. I don't know about that breath, though.
Yeah,
I don't know,
like, that breath.
Yeah, I don't think mm-mm. that's a no non-starter for me.
That
and
dry
know.
Mouth with that glass of wine. <Mm-mm>. You know that's not yeah. cute.
I just like to imagine profile, scenarios where these people could like meet each other. Oh, I want right. to see like get the crossovers.
Betty's profile says, "I have an above ground hot tub. We use it for air. Join us." Would you like a glass of milk? We have cows with teats at the farm. We can facilitate that in the morning. So, yeah. If you have pets, bring them over. Aspen will take care of them for yeah. you overnight.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. That's the 90-Day Fiancé. Is there anything that we missed, Maggie?
You know, I feel like I got it all out. I'm sorry I got a little heated with Brandon and Julia, but I don't regret anything I said.
No, you're great.
I stand by it.
Yes. Okay. Puya, anything else that you want to add in the 90-day-averse?
So the next time on this season on 90 Day, whichever way they ended up advertising it, we're going to see Mike back at that barber with the hairdresser that we saw the chemistry with. I'm excited about that one. And they go to counseling. Again, Mike and Natalie are going to deliver this season, and I can't wait to see it. Rebecca and Ziad are going to be moving stuff in, and there's this young lady that's going to offer to help him, and Rebecca's going to catch cases of jelly.
Yeah, who's this woman that's going to help Ziad move?
Never seen her.
I feel like it's the daughter's fiance's friend because she was like sitting on the side, or maybe like his sister or something. And poor Ziad, in the preview, it seemed like he's like, I mean, yeah, I guess I'll move it in all by myself. And she's like, I'll help you. And he was like, sure, someone who I can talk to. And Rebecca was like, really? Really? You're going to let her do it? And I was like, oh my gosh, Rebecca, please, please carry the torch. Please talk about Rebecca. Just please carry the torch, because Rebecca is
going to paint the entire left wall with a mural of them before this girl moves stuff in. Let me tell you. Way she's going to mark that territory right up. I'm excited for that. And then Andrew's back in the USA and his mom has words, which of course means we're going to have our weekly segment of Andrew's an idiot and his mom is placating to his idiocy. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for that one. It'll be a good time.
Okay. All right. So next week, no 90 Day Fiance because of the Super Bowl. And so we'll be back in 2 weeks to break it all down and hope you can join us then. Maggie, where can people keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter at _MLMorgan and on Instagram at @Morgan_. Just hanging out. There was a giant snowstorm in New York City today.
Yes.
So staying inside. And you can keep up with what I'm doing there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are you watching anything else good besides 90 Day Fiancé?
Not currently, but Temptation Island is starting soon.
Oh, yes.
So that is exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that will be happening in the next few weeks. It's February 16th is the premiere date.
Okay. All right. I have to check that out.
Yeah.
I've never watched the reboot of Temptation Island. I used to watch it back in the day, the OG version of Temptation Island.
I have a close friend who last season did what my mom wants me to do to her, would call me and reiterate the entire episode to me.
Yeah.
So I didn't even watch last season, but I feel like I know everything that happened because I would get the play-by-play. So I'm excited to finally dive in and see what's happening with these people.
Do you follow the T.I. at all?
I have not the rapper nor the show. But I'm intrigued. And Maggie gave this show a shot. I will give that show a shot.
Okay.
Likewise.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if it doesn't deliver.
Yeah. What else you have going on this week?
Let's see. This week, I feel like I don't have anything new in the developments. Obviously, with 90 Day being taken away from us, I'm going to miss our meetup on Monday, Rob. It's going to be a sad time for me. However, the Super Bowl is happening. I've moved my stream over to the morning for that day. So obviously, you can follow me on all social media platforms at Puyaism, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. I'll be streaming 3 times a week over on Twitch. And the more Masked Dancer time for me to watch, really, because I didn't watch last week. I'm going to catch up with that this week. And as you mentioned earlier, talk some incidents, talk some situations in which me, you, and Akiva got together, or sorry, me, you, and A-hole got together and started to decide who is or isn't an A-hole. And that was a very fun podcast, and I had a great time talking with you over the weekend on that.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot of fun here today with Maggie and Puya. We'll be back with more 90 Day Fiance coming up in but 2 weeks. Of course, check out everything else we have going on Rob Has a Podcast. We had a great talking with T-Bird this weekend, where we caught up with Gandia Johnson. Taryn is going to have the finale of Sequester coverage coming up later on Monday night. And then also Jatia PhD She joined the RuPaul's Drag Race wrap up with Liana and Amon and Beth this weekend as well. So lots of great stuff going on over at robhasawebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Good thing, too, you're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.